But I want you to turn, if you would, to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. What's Isaiah 53 about? All prophetic toward who? Jesus. And what he did for us. What was Jesus? He was our substitute. What was Jesus? He was God's Lamb, his sacrifice that he could offer unto us. Did we want Jesus? Were we looking for Jesus? Were they looking for him? No, they didn't want him. He was despised and rejected. They misunderstood him. Everything about him. You read through Isaiah 53, with the help of God and his Spirit, and we could understand these things of what he's done. But he asked a question in Isaiah 53, which I consider the ultimate question that is not answered in the Word of God. And it's brought up twice in the Older Testament and once in the Newer Testament, Rusty. Y'all remember that Ethiopian eunuch who had been in Jerusalem? And he went to go get help, but he left with no answers. And he had his Bible open. Where did he have it open to? Isaiah 53. And he was reading it as he was in his chariot. And God took Philip from a revival going on in Samaria and said, I got a man out on in a desert. He's all by himself. He's in a chariot. And he sent him out there to him. And he overtook the chariot. And when he come up on it, he saw that man in there. And he was reading Isaiah 53. And Philip said, do you know what you're reading? And what did the man tell him? How can I, unless somebody helps me, understand it? Amen. And the question I'm about to ask, the question the Scriptures ask, the question God asked, is the same. He asked that same question in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 33. And it's a question that he doesn't answer. And the reason he doesn't answer it, it's a question that he leaves up to us to answer. And it is the ultimate question of the Scriptures. And how you answer it is going to cost you either way. It'll cost you your life on this earth, or it'll cost you your life eternally. All in how it's answered. Let's read it. Look in verse number 7. Let's just start there. The ultimate question. And I know some of you have answered the question. But I pray it also be a tool that you'll be able to help other people answer the question as well. Verse 7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Now who is this? This is who? This is Jesus. Notice what he says in verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment or justice. There was a tribunal justice system that they did not follow in that day. He was taken from prison and from justice or judgment. And here's the question. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. So here's the ultimate question. Who will declare or proclaim his generation? Well, the word generation talks about times, a day, a season, when he lived. The context of the whole passage helps us understand this. Some translations. How many of y'all are reading from the King James? Raise your hand. How many of you are reading from the New King James? Raise your hand. How many are reading from an NIV? Raise your hand. The NIV and several other translations transliterate this over with who would have stood in and defended him in that day. But that's not really the heart of what this question is. And you can see it by the context. The context is that he was taken from the earth. That meant he died. He couldn't declare what he did. His life was cut short. He was taken from prison. They brought him before the judgment. They put him on the cross. He died. He could not defend nor declare nor proclaim what he was doing in that day because his life was cut short on this earth. yes, he was resurrected. Praise God. That's our gospel. But the point is, as the question is proposed, seeing that he was cut off, who is going to take on that responsibility to proclaim what he did when he lived and how he lived and why he lived, which is the rest of Isaiah 53, the whole message of the gospel? Who will take that responsibility and consider it and go proclaim his generation, his age or day? And that is the ultimate question. Will I take on that responsibility to proclaim the life of Jesus and what he accomplished in that day? And when I take on that responsibility, it will cost me my life in this world. As Jesus said, if a man wants to save his life, he'll what?
Lose.
But if a man's willing to gain his life, he must lose it for what? My sake and the gospel. This is the ultimate question, Brother Shannon. Who will go and proclaim his generation, his days, his life? Go look at it in Acts. Let's go look at it in Acts and see if it even adds more clarity to it. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 33. Notice, it's open. There's no answer because the question still is open for you and I to say, I'll do it. I will. Remember when God asked Isaiah, who will go for us? And Isaiah said, I will. And then Isaiah said, Lord, how long do I need to go? And what did God tell him? As long as there were people upon the earth, you go. You see, but God answered it. He doesn't answer this. Why? Keith, he's put that in your hands and he's put it in my hands that I've got to answer. And depending on how I answer, this ultimate question will always be will have a response of an extraordinary answer, either yes or no. But if I answer yes, it's going to cost me everything in this life for him. But if I answer no, it's going to cost me an eternity with him.
Amen.
It's the ultimate question. Who will? Look in Acts 33. I'm going to read verse number 32. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. He couldn't keep going and defending and standing. His life was cut short. So who's going to stand in the gap and declare what he did? The answer will be, as I've written in my Bible, my answer is, I will. I'll do it, God. I'll do it. But that answer is going to cost me. It's going to cost me. You see, I believe that he came to do what he came to do, and that whether he was understood or misunderstood or unwanted or wanted, he did what the Father gave him to do. The resurrection validates that, and I have the answer that I've given. Yes, Lord, I will declare your days. I will declare your times. I will proclaim it. I will consider it. I will give my life to think on it. I will give my life to try to understand it. And I will give my life to go declare it to the world that you've given me to declare it to. I'll answer that question with yes. I'll declare it. I'll declare your days, your age, your time when you live. I will. That's the ultimate question. Because the answer yes means I'm entrusting myself to him and what he come to do and why he did what he did. And when I answer yes, then everything about my life is going to reflect that answer. If I answer no, I will not do it. Everything in my life is going to reflect that. I won't consider what he done. I won't study what he done. I won't think of what he said when he done what he did. I won't do any of those things. I'll just live. Yes, I'll live in the peripheral of what he did, but I'm not living for it. Because the question's still open for you and me today to answer. Will you proclaim his days? Well, yes, I will. Rich started painting the house the other day, and he's got a Big old German shepherd he takes around with him everywhere he goes. I can't remember his name, but he's a very mild, meek and mild-mannered dog. And he takes him when he works. When he's in Meridian in town, he leaves him with his parents out in Lauderdale, Airedalewood area. But every time he's been over here, whether he was pressure washing and he's been painting, old dog just runs around and keeps an eye on things. If I go walk over here, he'll go walk with me. A big old German shepherd. And I walked out the other day while he was painting, and I couldn't help but notice he had paint all over his ears, paint on his head, paint on his rear. He had paint all over him because he's hanging out with his owner, his master. And the evidence of what his master is doing is going to be on him. No different if he was doing carpenter work, there's going to be sawdust on him. Or whether he's pressure washing a house, he's going to get wet. He's painting, he's going to have paint on him. Why? Because he's staying close to his master. The evidence of the master's work is going to be on those who stick with him and are working with him. Amen? Amen. The evidence is going to be there. And that's just what this question, one of the only questions. Now, there is another time, another question where Jesus poses, it's prophetic. Remember when he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Why are you not hearing my groaning? The New Testament tells us that same thing. Why, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's not answered. It doesn't get answered. Other than the fact we come to the conclusion is this, that when we answer the ultimate question of will you declare or proclaim my days and what I come to do and what I did when I lived on this earth, if we answer yes, you know what that word, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why he did that? So that we would never have to ask that question. He asked it on our behalf. He was forsaken that we would not be forsaken. He was bruised so that we wouldn't have to be bruised. He was beaten so that we wouldn't happen to be beaten for our transgressions. Why did God forsake him? So that he wouldn't have to forsake you and I who answer the question, yes, yes. I'll give up my life to proclaim your days. And the evidence of what you're doing, your work, where you're at, is going to be on me. Amen. Because I'm walking with my master. Yes. Father, we thank you today. I pray that you help each of us here answer this question today, that we can settle it in our hearts. Those that have, we can rejoice. Those that haven't, we'll be able to ponder and contemplate, have I answered this extraordinary gift that you've invited me to be part of declaring or proclaiming your life and what you did for us, that we wouldn't have to be forsaken by you because of our sins and iniquities and transgressions, which you bore for us upon the cross. So, Lord, we understand. I understand the implications of saying yes to you. It demands an extraordinary response of faith that, yes, I will proclaim your life and what you came to do and what you're doing right now in the lives of people who are trusting you with their life. So, thank you. And I pray over each soul that is here. I pray for those that will come in contact this week and the questions that they will go out and ask others. Have they answered that question? Who will proclaim his days? Thank you, Father, for your gift of life and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.